Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you'd like to make during this broadcast, you can write to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Well, I'm coming to the end of almost a decade of doing radio shows. This is going to be my last month. As many of you know, that I'm going into retirement from Straight Wives as my life is moving upwards into other areas of my business, which is working in education, including college. And so after 35 years, it's time for me to move on to the rest of my life, which isn't that much longer because I really am getting old. But in the meantime, like I say, I will be available. If you have issues or problems, you can always email me. You can always go back to the archives of the show and listen to the wonderful guests who have volunteered their time to help you through these crises. And next weekend, I won't be on because I'll be at our healing weekend, my final healing weekend in California. I have some really important business to take care of in California as well as the healing weekend concerning the harassment that took over 3 years of my life. I'll be out in the same neighborhood with those who are doing the harassing, so it will be really interesting. In the meantime, like I say, this month, I wanted to make it the best month by having some of my best guests who have been here before to come back. And so our guest tonight is Dr. Brian Hooper. Brian, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
My privilege to be with you, Bonnie.
Oh, thank you, Brian. You and I have been together for a number of years too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Long number of years.
I've learned a lot from you. We've shared a lot together, and we've helped a lot of folks together as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. And Brian has been wonderful as far as really helping the men who come to me, as a therapist that he is, you know, as far as helping the men who are going through challenging times and coming out, as well as helping many of our women who needed therapy and understanding of what they were going through. So since Brian and I have been together over the last 6 or 7 years, it's been a wonderful relationship as far as women getting help from Brian. And tonight I'd really like to archive this show so we can discuss some of the things that come up most of all through the years that we've been together and the travels, because this is still a very confusing issue for women and who don't understand how this is happening. And I think as a gay man, you yourself can maybe attest a little bit to why does this happen?
Yeah, absolutely. There are several reasons that gay men end up marrying women. I will share a story from this last week, but as you all know who have listened to me before, never any identifying information, you would know who I'm talking about. But a gentleman came to see me, brought up in a religious home, where early on there was some tentative explorations in early adolescence with a neighbor, and parents found out and soundly shamed him for that. And he sort of pushed all of that down and, you know, wanted to please mom and dad, wanted to please church, wanted to fit in society. And, you know, he did what he was thought he was supposed to do and married a lady that he really does care for. And in his case, this is unusual, but in his case, he let her know of his previous experience and of his ongoing attraction. Never acted on it, but came to see me because he says, you know, now I'm wrestling with not having fully explored who I was. I've married this woman, we're in this together, but now I really need to work through the anxiety and the depression that's coming up around this. Most men that come to see me, they did what they thought was the right thing to do at the time. They didn't think just being a gay man was an option. They thought it was a phase that they were going through in many cases, or they thought that marriage would, quote, cure. I don't like that word, but that's how they were thinking of it at the time, their attraction. Uh-huh. And then they get into it, and then they start having dalliances on the side. And then they come to the point where they say, I can't keep this up. I need to figure out what's going on.
Now, do you deal with men who just don't want to come out at all?
The men that have come to see me are, I'm trying to think of one that said, I don't want to do anything about that. I don't want to tell. And honestly, all of them that have come to see me have either been found out, come out, or in many, many cases, I've helped them come out to their wives and then begin to to negotiate with their wives how to go on with life. In other words, that I can only think of one case where the couple chose to stay together, but that was their choice. And all the others, they've divorced, and I'd say the split is about 50-50 in terms of has it been amicable or not. But I don't have men coming to see me. I'm really racking my brain. I take that back. I can think of one. That's about four years ago. He came to see me and saw me, I think, twice, went away on business. Then there was one excuse after another and never came back. So he only saw me a couple of times. And he was not yet out to his wife, and there was lots of fear of losing his employment position that was playing in the background. But, you know, what I tell the guys is that nothing is going to be more important than your own integrity and authenticity. And you owe this. You owe the truth to the woman you've married. You owe it to her to let her know what's going on inside, because honestly, unless you told her before you got married, it's not what she signed up for.
Mm-hmm. And even if they told her before you got married, you know, I used to think, well, some guys would tell before they got married, but to be honest with you, I tell women, you can't beat yourself up over that, because we did not understand homosexuality. We really believed that homosexuality meant that a man is attracted to somebody of the same sex. That's what the word means. So if a man's coming to you and telling you that he loves you, that he's changed, where are we to say, no, you can't change? We just didn't know enough information in those days, or even these days. We think that, you know, it isn't. So today there's a big word out that you and I have discussed. It's called fluid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hate that word. Meaning that you can be one thing today, one thing the next week. You know, there's all kinds of new labels and terminologies within sexuality. And I know for myself, just based on my own personal experience and thinking, that I was a little worldly when I was in my 20s, namely because I lived in California where things were really hot and there were orgies going on and all kinds of what they called, quote, experimentation. So I thought I was really with it, you know, and understanding. And so if someone told me, which they did, that they had previous homosexual experiences, not my gay husband, but another man I was dating before him, and that he tried it and he realized he went with women and that's what he preferred, you know, he wasn't gay, I would have no reason whatsoever to doubt that. I would have thought back in those days, well, you tried it, you didn't like it, and this is what you are. And that's what, even if I would have known that he had previous gay experiences back in those days, I still would have said, well, that's not what you are. So I think that even if men did tell their wives that they've had attractions or tried something, you know, we just didn't understand it, because it just doesn't make sense in our heads that 2 and 2 is 8.
Well, and it didn't make sense to the wives. It didn't make sense to the men, because in many cases they were told, oh, this is just an aberration. And once you get married and make this commitment, all will be fine. The men believed it and the women believed it in many cases. And it didn't end up being the, you know, their experience. I can tell you, I have had many men who have come to see me who have said, well, I'm coming to see you because I think I'm bi. And I say, okay, well, let's talk about this. And they said, well, I've always been attracted to men, and I had some, played around a little bit in high school or in college, but, you know, I just thought that this was not really what I was interested in, and I wanted to be married. I wanted to be a family man. I wanted to have children. So, you know, I married my best friend, but I'm still attracted to men, and I think I'm bi. Well, okay, so, you know, I listen to them and hear their story, and ultimately, after we built rapport and they've shared what their experience is, I'll say, so, are you having, you know, some experiences sexually on the side? Yes. Is it with both men and women? Well, no, it's with men. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, well, when do you feel most authentically yourself? When you're with a man, or when you're with a woman? And oftentimes what they say is, oh, I never thought about it that way. I feel my most authentic self when I'm with a man. And they're the ones, I don't tell them, I don't say, well, you're gay and not bi. They end up saying to me, you know, I think I really am gay and not bi. I go, okay, well, now let's deal with that. But there's so much of wanting to hang on to the sense of privilege that comes with being straight that, you know, their thinking is, well, I can kind of hold on to that if I'm bi and not gay. I can kind of hold on to that status. But when we get underneath it all, they end up saying, you know, really, my primary attraction is to men. Care about my wife, care about my kids, but honestly, I'm gay. I can't say everybody's experience is something, but that's what that they're telling me. This is what my experience has been with them. Go ahead.
How about men who say that,
go ahead,
you know, they're only looking for sexual satisfaction with somebody who's a man, but they have no interest in ever pursuing a relationship, and that's why they're staying in their marriage?
Well, it still seems duplicitous. I mean, this isn't what their wives signed up for, and I think that they're really kidding themselves, because there's another something going on there, and in many cases they think that if they're not falling in love, if they don't have a relationship with somebody, then it's just sex, and therefore they're not really gay.
Right. That's what they're thinking. I mean, have you met men like that?
Yeah.
I mean, because I see
them. I think
them,
they're,
you know,
yeah.
Several times.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, yes, that they say, well, it's just sex. It's not love, therefore I'm not gay. Sure.
Uh-huh.
I think there are a lot of gay men that are, just as an aside, there are a lot of gay men out there who are having lots of random sex with lots of men because they're afraid of being in a relationship with anybody.
Uh-huh. Or maybe they just don't want to have a relationship. Maybe they're just off on sex. But that, I tell them, that does not make you straight. You know, just
right,
because you're having a marriage. And then once again, you have to define marriage. Are you making love to your wife? Well, we have sex sometimes.
Right.
So having sex is not the same
as
making love to your wife.
That's
it's totally
right.
Different.
Right.
They say, well, I'm not making love to
difference.
Men either. It's just a sexual thing. You know, in their heads, they just don't want to be gay.
Right.
And, you know, to a point, I can understand it's a hard life, but I want to tell you something. To me, the real heroes are the men like you who are authentic and who can accept who they are. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something else. I understand to a point why gay men and get married. You know, I know the whole story about being pressured religiously. But guess what? They only account for maybe 8 to 10% of gay men. Weren't all the other gay men pressured also? Were only the married ones the ones who were pressured by religion or pressured by their family? You can't convince me that there are plenty of other gay men who weren't pressured plenty, but who didn't give in to that pressure.
Am
I right on that?
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're talking to one of them. I was overwhelmed by the idea of bringing somebody else into something that wasn't genuine, authentic, true. I mean, I couldn't live with that, and I wouldn't want anybody else to live with that.
Well, you know, I also think that women who, once they find out that their husbands are gay, you know, there's not a... I mean, some women treat it very differently than others. You know, a lot of women are filled with this hope, against hope, that things are going to change. And that their husbands are going to wake up and realize this was a mistake. They really weren't gay. Maybe they just had some physical attraction to somebody. Maybe it was an emotional attraction that turned physical for a time or two. But they really believe that this can change. So let me ask your opinion. Can this change?
No. No. They're not going to cease being gay and start being straight. No.
Right.
You know, I'm in mind of one wife of one of my former clients a few years back, who she knew, and she begged him to stay and said, you know, you can go out on your own and have somebody on the side, but please stay. And I wasn't seeing her in therapy, but my heart broke for her, because I thought, you need to discover yourself apart from this man and love yourself. You deserve somebody who is available to fully love you. And he admitted he wasn't. He couldn't do that. And they were both racked with an awful lot of shame and guilt. And I would say, if there's a woman who's saying, well, it would be better to be with him and he has somebody on the side, than to not be with them, I would say, please, before you make that decision, get into therapy and find out what makes you so desperate to hang on, because you deserve better than this. You deserve somebody who's available to you in mind and body and soul.
You know, let me ask your opinion of this, because you've been doing this for a long time now, as far as working with this population. Do you think that when somebody's living a lie, you know, for whatever the reason is, you know, but they're living this double life, does that enhance personality disorders at all? Or do you think that people have personality disorders and they just happen to be gay, just like people could be personality disordered and be straight?
Right, right. I think I'm most comfortable saying one, it simply reinforces the other. So once we do something that's contrary to either conscience or, you know, what is considered responsible in society, once we've done it once, it's easier to do it a second time and a third time. And if there's like a narcissistic personality disorder, it excuses itself in order to, you know, take care of itself rather than other people. And then the more it betrays other people, the easier it is to do. It's circular.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a commentary. It's just like a lot of times we say these gay married men have very similar personalities as far as it being all about them all of the time. Or, you know, when you're living a lie, I guess you have to protect yourself, so you're always trying to figure out, what lie you're telling to. It becomes very confusing.
Right.
But in many of the cases, I would say that 3/4 of the men were really abusive to these women in the marriages, because they didn't want to be there. And they wouldn't take the responsibility that they're doing something wrong. So it's so much easier to say to their wife, well, if you weren't this way, if you weren't that way, if you weren't sexually aggressive, if you weren't so unsupportive, if you weren't always so suspicious. You know, like that one man who came to me, I'll never forget, I was so angry at him, and he said, well, you don't know what it's like living with my wife. She's always suspicious. She's always suspicious. Well, you're out there and you have a boyfriend at all times. Why wouldn't she be suspicious? You know, don't you think that women know when something's wrong, right? And, well, she's not supportive to me. How? She doesn't let you go out because she knows what you're going to be doing out there? I mean, like these guys, some of them are really clueless. But I hate when the fact when they say that we're getting divorced because, you know, we have, you know, differences. The difference is, I mean, you're both after the same thing, but with different people. I mean, these men are looking for someone to love them and care for them, you know, treat them the way our women would like their husbands to treat them, you know, and they should maybe rate them. And it just really bothers me that it's bad enough that they've done this. Why not just take responsibility rather than blame your wife for all the problems you're having? Have you found that in your counseling, that a lot of them do that?
My experience with them is they come to me because they recognize that something has to change, and they can't keep on going the way they are. So I have to be honest and say I haven't met anybody who's said, complained against their wife as a justification for doing what they do. That's not been my experience. But I would imagine it's more yours, because you have more women calling you and I have men calling me.
Yeah. Well, actually, sadly, I have a lot of these men calling me and trying to tell me the same story, blaming it on their wives. But, you know, I hold them responsible for it. You know, I say, look, you cannot convince me that this has anything to do, you know, as far as, you know, your wife. Because your wife is just responding to the way that you treat her. So, in other words, if you're not going to treat her with love and respect and cherish her, you know, I think some of these men just think being married means you're putting a roof over somebody's head or you're helping with the chores around the house, they don't understand what it is to have a marriage because they just don't feel comfortable being a straight man when they're not straight to start with. And I can understand that because if I had to live a lie and be somebody who I'm not on a daily basis, I would resent that person too. I mean, no matter how much I might love a girlfriend of mine, if I had to make love to my girlfriend, I would be really upset. You know, I wouldn't want to be near her either.
Right.
I'd be running in the other direction every time I saw her. But, you know, so that's why living this lie, eventually I think just catches up with you. And rather than having to put yourself in that position that you start, you know, creating problems so that your wife doesn't want to be with you and so that she's happier not, you know, having sex with you, I think that these men just keep doing this. And one of my, you know, my women tonight, we were talking in our support group online, you know, they were saying, like, how much this hurts women to be told there's something wrong with them sexually. Like, this is something in a woman's, you know, feminine spirit, you know, that here that
it's
they're
crushing.
Told that they're not adequate in bed,
yeah.
that they
it's
smell.
Crushing. Yeah.
It's crushing to the point where you just don't care anymore and you just give up. And once you give up your feminine spirit, I think you start losing yourself altogether in who you are. And I think that's what I really resent most about these men. I mean, I can understand how they feel pressured into going to these marriages, but once you know what you are, then you have the obligation to do the right thing. Not wait until you fall in love with some guy. Before you go out and fall in love with some guy, you should tell your wife that I'm out there and I'm questioning myself and my sexuality. And, you know, before you go through all this and sneaking around, I mean, I know guys who have their boyfriends come to their house while their wives are out working. I mean, to me, that's
Bonnie, I've had a female client or two that have said they have no idea that, you know, so-and-so's best friend that kept coming over was also, you know, his lover, husband's lover. And that is, I mean, that's, they're being gaslighted when that happens. And, and that just heightens the betrayal that it's been under their own roof. So, yeah, that's devastating sort of stuff. I have, you know, with all the men that come to see me, I'm very clear with them, whatever's going on, if they don't have anybody on the side or if they do, they, and in 90% of the cases, they've at least had sexual experiences, even if they don't have a lover then. But I tell them, you've got to own up to this. And if you don't, you're not living with integrity yourself, and you'll never have what you want in life because you're not authentically present. You're not truly available. Do the right thing for her and do the right thing for yourself.
Well, that's why I tell men, you claim you love your wife. Love means doing the right thing. And even though it
That's
will
right.
be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life, and I acknowledge that to all of them, it will be the most difficult thing you've ever done is to come out to your wife. And you know what? Some of the wives in the beginning, they get really angry at me for telling their husbands to come out because they thought their whole life was going to survive until, you know, I tell their husbands to tell them that.
Right.
But you have to tell them while you're out there doing other things, so women have to protect themselves, right?
Of course, it's informed consent. I mean, you know, if she wants to continue on with you, she needs to know. I changed the subject just slightly here. I want to say something about sexual addiction. I am amazed that there are people who are licensed therapists who do addiction work and tell gay men, oh, you're not gay. You just have an addiction to sex. And, I mean, I helped a man not very long ago who's been through years of this, quote, sexual compulsion therapy. He thought he had a sex addiction. And his wife was buying into this. And he kept, you know, having experiences outside of the marriage. And I said, this is, you're a gay man. That's why you're having the experiences. This does not make you a sex addict. You might be a sex addict in addition to this, but that's a side piece.
Uh-huh.
And it, the therapist was confusing him. So none of this, I just want to put that out there that gay men having sex with other men is not something that's going to go away because they see somebody for a sexual addiction.
How bad if they don't identify as being gay and they have sleep with men and women?
Well, what's the difference? I mean, is this what their wives signed up for? I keep coming back to that.
No, absolutely. I was working with a woman yesterday whose husband was, you know, involved with both. And I said, I don't know if he's necessarily gay, but he is a sex addict, and that's even worse because you certainly can't trust him with anyone. But I do believe that there are people with sexual addictions who will just have sex with anyone because he had a lot of women.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think gay men
right.
would do that, do you?
Right. But what I'm saying, yeah, I'm talking about gay men who are told, oh, if you're attracted to other men, that in and of itself is an addiction. That's what I'm getting at.
Uh-huh.
And that's what my client had been sold a bill of goods of about. And he believed it, or he was at least trying to believe it.
Now he must have been working with Joe Court. Was he working with Joe Court?
No.
That sounds
somebody
like something
else.
He might say.
Yeah,
because the Joe Court school of thought is that you don't have to be gay to have sex with men. You know, I mean, and that's what he counsels men about, that just because you have sex with men does not mean you're gay, because your identity and your sexuality are two different things.
I see. Well, I've never read anything by Joe Court, so I don't have an opinion there. But I trust you because I know you've had a lot of interactions with people who have been influenced by him. So,
yeah, I have. And it's just really appalling to me that, you know,
yeah.
Why can't you just be honest and be what it is? And as I said, you know, I got tired
right.
after a
right.
while just fighting with men that you're gay. So I just say you're not straight. You know, I don't have to
right.
call them gay. I can just say you're not straight.
Right.
Because there's too many variations today, you know, Brian. Every time I look, there's a new initial added to the LGBTQAI.
I know.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Well, I think it is very confusing for many, many people. And aside from Klinefelter's syndrome, which is a very, very small percentage of the population, people are either born with female anatomy or male anatomy. And that's, you know, that is our biological sex. And what you feel led to do with that, where your attraction is a different thing altogether. But I keep coming back around to the basic idea that however you think about yourself, if you are born with the biology of a male and you're married to a woman who identifies as a woman and wants you as her husband and you're not being faithful to her, she needs to know about it. That's pretty simple. Don't confuse it with a lot of other side issues.
And let's talk about for a minute, maybe you can clarify this too. If someone is truly asexual, because some of our women have husbands who claim they're asexual, they're not going to be looking at gay porn. Is that correct?
No, they're not going to be looking at gay porn. They're not going to be interested in sex.
Or any kind of porn, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what asexual means, not sexual. So if somebody,
that's
you know,
right.
some of my women have husbands who claim that they're asexual and that's why they're not having sex, but they're still looking at gay porn. So I think they use that as
well,
an excuse.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I know. There are a lot of
you know, again, I would
play.
Say, I would say to women, trust what it is that you see with your own eyes. You know, don't doubt the reality that's right in front of you. And don't accept these lame excuses. Well, I just got curious. Maybe once you got curious and looked at gay porn, but when there's a whole history in the web browser that keeps on going, I'm going to say that's more than just curiosity.
You should hear some of the excuses these guys give, Ryan. You would really fall over laughing. Like, you know, one of them that comes up repeatedly is that, well, I'm just looking at them because I want to compare myself to others because I feel I'm not really adequate. So I want to see what other men's penises look like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get a lot of that. Aside from the fact
that's pretty unbelievable, isn't it?
Porno got there, and I don't know how it got there. It was a mistake, or accusing their kids of doing it, which really burns me up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they say, well, the kids are looking at it, not me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you blame that on your children?
Yeah, well.
I think in 35 years, I've heard everything
us.
Now, just about, to be honest with you.
I'm sure you have.
I don't think there's anything left to hear. I think I've heard every single possible excuse, story, dynamic. And I do. I mean, look, I work a lot with the other men, too. I call them my other men. These are men who are being strung along by the gay husbands who tell them from the beginning, I've never met another man. You're the first man. Now I know who I'm going to be. You're going to help me find myself. We're going to live happily ever after. And I would say 90% of these cases, these guys never leave their wives. They just have these other guys hanging on, thinking that, you know, and the guys think that they're helping these men come to terms with themselves as they're out there having sex with them. And they're victims, too. They really are. I know some of my women don't feel that way.
They come to see me
as well. But I feel that way.
They come to see me as well, Bonnie, you know, and I say to them, it's like a straight man that says to his female mistress, oh, I'm going to leave my wife for you. They don't. It's the same thing. They don't do it. There's too much at stake. Usually in some political sense, their employment or their status in the community or whatever it may be. And they just get strung along. Yeah.
I'd like you to tell people how you feel about telling the children about this.
First of all, I think that we have to remember that the task of parents is to keep the world of the children safe. And when a man comes out to his wife, they need to make a game plan about what they're going to do, first of all, to do exactly that, to keep the children's world as much intact as they possibly can. If they're going to be divorcing, they need to let the children know that they didn't cause the divorce. Mom and dad still love them, and they're going to do everything they can to keep their world the same. That's the first point. The second point is, yes, children, I do believe, deserve to know, but only to the degree that is age appropriate for them.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so I think that it's, there may be a waiting to tell them, but it has to be with the idea of what is in the children's best interest. What do you think about that?
I think today, with social media being what it is, that it's really important to tell your children the truth because they're going to find it out one way or another. And I've had this happen so many times where men are not careful and they'll put their pictures with their boyfriends on social media. And then the kids have their friends telling them, oh, I didn't know your dad was gay. And the kids themselves didn't know he was gay. And then that creates a whole new set of problems. Because number one, it makes it seem like there's something wrong with gay. And that's why when people say, oh, I don't want to tell that news, it's like saying right away, well, if you're gay, it's something bad and evil because we can't tell anybody.
Right.
I mean, I think we have to approach it that people are different. Your dad really loved me when he married me. He didn't realize that these feelings would grow because sometimes you don't know until you're older, and that he would have the same feelings for men that he, you know, more than he has for women. You know, it doesn't have to be a sexual thing when they're younger. But I feel that keeping this a secret is giving the wrong message. That, you know, you're,
right.
And especially the thing I resent most is when men tell their wives, well, you can't tell anyone. So in other words, they can go out and lead an authentically gay life, but their wives have to keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell my women, you don't have to announce it on social media, but when people ask you why your marriage is not there anymore, you can say, my husband is gay. That, you know, there's nothing to keep
absolutely.
A secret because it's not a bad thing, you know, bad thing. And some women still feel it's a stigma for them. Because the way people respond to straight wives, what didn't you know he was gay? Were you that stupid?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody knows he's
mm-hmm.
gay. Or he wasn't gay when he married
mm-hmm.
you. What did you do to make him gay? Which is very much, you know, a lot of people thinking.
Yeah.
So then you have to contend with the ignorance of people. So a lot of women are afraid to tell anyone because of the blame being put on them. So there's so many different issues that women have to deal with. But I think for the children... Those children who are not told, and I have article after article by these children, and I always tell women, I'll send them to you, just ask for them, where it shows that those kids who found out on their own, it was so much harder for them because they didn't know what to do. They were the keeper of the secret, and their dads would tell, they would confront their dads, you know, I saw this, and he would say, well, if you tell your mom, then it's going to destroy her, and the marriage is going to be over, and you're going to feel like you... For the cause of it, you know, the blame gets shifted to the children, which is a whole new bag of worms that I hate. You know, the children feel guilty, and then they don't want to hurt their moms, but they have to live with that. And one young lady said it tore her apart through the years, and she suffered so badly emotionally, thinking that she's going to be the destruction of her mother's marriage. So I think it's so much better to let children know. Something came up that we weren't expecting. There was a problem that, you know, your dad didn't know about. You know, when he married me, he married me, you know, with good intentions, but things happen. I think keeping it gay is secret. Like, once again, keeping it, something's bad about it.
I completely agree. And as I said, tell them in a way that's age appropriate. And with regard to maybe needing to postpone, that would be around things like the holidays. You know, I mean, I think that if it's like wife finds out right before Christmas, might be best to get through the holiday and then tell the kids.
Absolutely.
So
I always say don't do anything around the holidays.
I
tell the men, do not tell your wife when it's Christmas Eve that you have to tell her some news.
Right.
You know, wait till a week later. You know, because otherwise in every holiday, it's a constant reminder, you know, more so than any other day.
Right.
So I said, you fell off this long, you can wait another week or two. You know, but sometimes they're just so anxious because they have a guy waiting for them and they don't feel like waiting anymore. And the other thing, message I'd like to get across to women that you as a therapist can embark on this on women is that this is not something that when people say, in 2 weeks, why aren't you over this? Or in 2 months, why are you hanging on to this? So could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, it's like any kind of mourning experience. You know, you've experienced a loss, and it takes quite a bit of time to metabolize that loss and to integrate the knowledge of this new situation and begin to live it out. So I encourage women to be, you know, very kind to themselves, to be patient with themselves, to know that grief comes in cycles and in waves. To know that after the husband's come out, there's going to be the series of firsts for an entire year. You know, the first Easter that you have this new information, the first summer, the first Thanksgiving, the first Christmas, whatever it may be, that things are changing. And so there's real loss there. And no, you don't get over it in 2 weeks' time.
And it's going to hurt. You know, even ending a bad marriage is difficult, right?
Of course. And, you know, thoughts will come. Thoughts will come like, well, what if I had done this different or that different? That's typical of all kind of loss and mourning, stages of grief. We sort of want to bargain with it, the idea one more time. So I just want to acknowledge that's not unusual that happens. But honestly, ladies, there's nothing you could have done differently. It wasn't about you in the first place. And you weren't stupid and you didn't overlook something. You just didn't know.
Uh-huh. And I always tell women this kind of an experience, they have to really learn about themselves, because why they stayed in this situation for so long before they run out and meet somebody else. Do you agree?
Absolutely agree. Because even if it's a straight man, the chances are if they haven't worked through what kept them in that, they'll choose somebody else, even if he's straight, that will have many of the same features, and they'll be in a similar boat.
Yeah, because there's all kinds of bad people out there who are looking for vulnerable women who they can control,
mm-hmm.
you know, do all,
mm-hmm.
and it has nothing to do with your sexuality and who your personality is. So I always tell women they need to wait. They have to get help, get some therapy, find a therapist. And also, if you and your husband are having problems right now and your husband's going through whatever, he's not sure, this or that, Dr. Hooper can work with men from anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, right?
Right.
Through telephone. Yeah, you don't have to actually be in Nashville to see him. You can. Do you do Skype now?
It's like Skype. It's encrypted and a little safer. Well, not just a little. It is safe to other people can't listen in like they can with Skype. That's all. Yeah.
Okay.
So I consult. I do therapy in the state of Tennessee. I consult with folks who are outside, and if they need to see somebody local where they are, I get them hooked up with a licensed therapist there. But a lot of times they just need to talk a little bit about what's going on and get some information. And I'm happy to do that with anyone, anywhere. I had a gentleman contact me from Spain not very long ago. And we had a session on the phone, and he was dreading coming out to his wife and emailed me a couple of days later and said, well, I did it, and it was absolutely amazing, and it's the best thing for both of us, and she's being wonderfully supportive, and it was a real privilege to help him do the right thing. And in this case, you know, it wasn't this dreadful experience for him.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure it was hard for
and
both of them,
lots of tears. A lot of times men say to me, I'm too afraid to do it, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the truth is, you need to do it.
Right, you need to do it, and it's okay.
As painful as it is, you can't not do it, right?
Right, exactly. And I help men find the words and, you know, find a time. And I coach them on how to, you know, listen to what their wives have to say and how to answer their questions, and, you know, what questions need details and what don't, because we don't want to inflict further harm, but we want to make sure they're fully informed for what they need to know to take care of themselves. And almost all the men who I've worked with have said it was really, really hard, but I'm so glad we're through that now. It's like this load is lifted off of them. And there's also a load that in some ways is lifted off the woman, because now oh my gosh, now I understand, she says, what was going on, why it was that you weren't desiring me, why we didn't have sex very often, why you weren't very passionate. Now it all makes sense.
Well, it makes sense, but the reality is, don't be surprised if your wife is really angry, right?
Of course.
And that's just something that you have to go with, because this is what she's feeling like, her whole life is going to fall apart. You know, you're excited because your life is starting over, but she thought everything she had for now and for the future is now going to be going. So, you know, men have to expect that also. But I always tell men that if you are emotionally and financially responsible, you know, to your wife and your children, that will go a long way as far as your future relationship with them. right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
You know, I think that, you know, I think that if you have a husband, you can understand if things work, don't work out for this reason, and if he's not giving you a sexually transmitted disease and so many of the emotionally battering down things that some of these men do. I mean, there are some good ex-gay
mm-hmm.
husbands. I've met a few of them. I'm friends with some of them, you know, for years because they're doing the
and
right
I,
thing and they did the right thing.
And I try to
and
help
wives,
the men that I work
our
with
wives understand
be
that and forgive
good
them.
Ex-gay husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They don't forgive them, you say?
And that's the best way to keep the family together. I mean, because you can forgive someone for this if they do the right thing by you.
Right, right. Yep, yep.
But when you don't, and you just keep, you know, battering them or torturing them, it's just not going to be happening, right?
Right.
I mean, then why would you want to forgive somebody for that?
Yeah, so, I try to encourage the all the men that see me to be good former gay husbands and act. I said, you know, you need to have your financial act together and do what is just by her and the children, if they're children. And, you know, the vast majority of times the women are grateful for that. It's not easy, but they'd rather have that than somebody who is, you know, not treating them right. And
uh-huh.
I always encourage them that, you know, to think about if there are children, what's going to be in their best interest. You, the same thing for straight people who divorce. You have to be together
uh-huh.
still as parents to ask what's in the best interest of the kids.
And that's really, you know, should be the primary concern. You know, and like I say, the problem is with a lot of these guys is that now they're off to their new life. And sometimes, you know, I know it's exciting
right.
and you meet somebody, but you can't forget your children and you have to do the right thing by your ex-wife or by your wife. You know, you can't
right.
just forget them
right.
and move on.
Yeah.
And I have seen,
yeah.
as you mentioned, I've seen so many good outcomes come. I mean, people don't have to be close friends, but they have to raise the children together.
Right.
It's really
co-parent.
Important for
right.
children to have a sense of family on both parents whenever possible. You know, some men are really wonderful fathers, you know, and that should continue. I mean,
sure.
children need all the love they can get. But one other thing I just wanted
right.
to bring up and get your opinion on. When we were talking before about children knowing, I think
mm-hmm.
that from all of the things I've seen in 35 years and all the personal research I've done, that gay is certainly not a choice that people make. I really believe that gay is a genetic issue. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, some people may not agree with that, but I see it in families. It's very seldom ever an isolated case that if you look back to cousins
mm-hmm.
and uncles, you know, you're going to find it in the families. And that's because I really believe in my heart it is genetic. And for that reason,
mm-hmm.
I think it's so important to be honest with your children because they may be suffering through this as well and
right.
afraid and scared and not knowing what's happening to them. Or at least if gay was made that it's not a bad thing, that it's just a way of life that people have, they wouldn't struggle so much as far as coming to terms with themselves. You know, when you think that your parents are going to condemn you or they're going to be mean to you or angry with you, then you sit and you really struggle more, whereas if you have a gay parent, I think that would be more understanding if, you know, that your parent's gay, that, yeah, it could happen to me too. And I'll deal with
right.
it because, you know. Am I right on that?
Oh, absolutely. And I've lost track of the number of people who have a gay sibling. I'm thinking of somebody recently that there's two brothers of my client. One is gay and one is straight. And other folks where there's relative a fairly close degree, like a cousin, that's gay or an uncle that's gay. It's rare that you find just one person without other close relations that are also gay. The other thing is that there's a good deal of evidence that points to hormone levels in the womb that contribute to the orientation of the person once they once they begin to mature sexually. So the science continues to point towards a biological reason. I can't think of anyone, myself included, that sat down and said, I wonder what I'll be. Will I be gay or will I be straight? I'm going to just make a choice to be gay because that looks complicated and interesting. Just doesn't happen. You know, it's one of those things that
right.
we discover about ourselves in the same way that you discovered that you were attracted to men as a straight woman. It's not a decision you made. I remember saying to my mother one day, you know, when did you choose? Because she really struggled early on with me being gay. And I said, when did you choose to be attracted to males and not females? Well, I didn't. I mean, I just always was. And I said, well, exactly. That's the way it is.
Uh-huh.
The same for straight folks and gay folks. We don't. What
uh-huh.
we do choose is how we're going to live with that. Are we going to live with authenticity? Are we going to live with integrity? Are we going to live with dignity?
Uh-huh.
Are we going to live with honesty? These are the choices we can make and must make to be,
uh-huh.
you know, fully alive. Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, a lot of times there's misconception on what gay is because we look at the stereotypes that we see out there that are somewhat distasteful to many people. When you see
right.
all the, I don't even know how to describe it, but when you see
well,
people out
the,
there in full drag and regalia.
One of the things I want to circle back to is, you know, the comment about fluidity. If you're a gay man and it's comfortable for you to be stereotypically masculine, and that's how you carry yourself, and that was, don't let anybody shame you because you're not as fluid as some people are in terms of how you express that. I mean, some people's expression is more on the feminine side, some is more on the masculine side. But their orientation is still going to be the same for gay men. It's going to be towards men.
But
there
think
are
that's
those
one of
men
the problems
who say, I can't.
Some gay men look and they say, well, that's not me. I don't look like that. I don't act like that. I must not be gay.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. They do that, and then they delude themselves because they think they have to fit an old stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I
and
understand
it's just the not
struggles,
the
case. I understand the rejection. But at some point,
sure.
you know, I think men have to come to terms with this and realize that doesn't represent me, but I'm still a gay man.
Right. And that's where we have to deal with our, you know, what's referred to as our internalized homophobia. We are afraid of it because we associate all sorts of things with it. And that's where, that's where some good psychotherapy can be very helpful.
So how can people find you, Brian Hooper?
They can find me, Bonnie K, by going to simply drbrianhooper.com. drbrianhooper.com. My website will come up. There's contact pages there. There's a phone number there. Love to speak with them, men and women, if I can help in any
yes.
way.
And if you're listening to this broadcast, it's right on the page where it says how to contact you. www.drbrianhooper.com. And feel free to do
right.
that. Read his wonderful, beautiful website. And, Brian, I want to personally thank you for all the help you've been to me and to our network through these years. You've been wonderful.
Well,
and
it's
I
been
truly
a privilege.
Love you. You're a wonderful man.
Well, I love you too, Bonnie. And it's just been a privilege to be, you know, with you on this segment of your journey in this world, helping other people, and you're an inspiration to me, and I want you to know that. And, you know, I look to a lot of what you have written, and I look to your experience because you've been spot on, spot on.
Yeah, thank you. And you are too.
You're welcome.
So, ladies, I'm going to say goodnight for now. Love to all of you. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Brian, I love you, and thank you so much again.
Ooh, my privilege, Bonnie. We'll talk later. Take care.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.